I was talking to a friend of mine who was doing the sermon in his synagogue yesterday about various scripture passages. He was preaching on the golden calf, and I was preaching on this, and I thought to myself and said to him, it's a miracle Paul lived long enough to be killed by the Romans, because it's funny to think of a pastor saying, oh, yes, I didn't tell you all the truth because you were like babies, and you're still like babies. And it's a miracle to me that Paul was as persuasive as he was. And that's the story of the Corinthian church right now. Because Paul, in writing this letter, founded the church in Corinth, went off to Ephesus, had another one of his disciples come along and start to teach the Corinthians what Paul thought was the gospel of Jesus. And then he gets reports back that all kinds of things are going wrong in Corinth. And so now we have the first letter of the Corinthians, which serves as a long corrective of Paul saying, no, you don't understand. No, you still don't understand. No, really, you don't understand. And this passage is rich that way. This passage, I think, gets at the truth of Paul's gospel in ways other passages don't really access. And I want to start by talking about the way you feel sometimes working in the church or working in a nonprofit or volunteering. How many of you go either to a church meeting in some previous church, never in this one, and get enmeshed in a 3-hour-long discussion about logistics? Has that ever happened? How many of you walk out of meetings saying, I don't think this is what I signed up for? Has that ever happened? Is that any of you? How many of you feel like, wow, that person just doesn't get it? Where is she taking us? Has that ever occurred to you? How many of you say, when I joined this group, really was inspired by what we were doing, and now things are different, and I don't understand what's happening? Because I think that's what's happening in this church in Corinth. That's what's happening, this feeling of everyone in the church being really inspired by Paul, who comes along and teaches them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Paul's mind, in Paul's message, it's simple and straightforward. And then they start to grow in their own membership. They start to get seniority. They start to get an idea of how things are, and someone else comes along. And this other person, Apollos, has a slightly different view, or at least a slightly different way of talking about his view than Paul did. And so people start to say, well, that's not what Paul said. That's not what it was like when Pastor Paul was here. That's something else. And Paul gets this letter and says to them, are you serious? Who do you think sent Apollos to you? Do you think Apollos was there by accident? Do you think that we did not talk before we'd agreed to have him serve your church in Corinth? Because what Paul is saying here is, look, folks, there are two things wrong. First of all, you put too much stake in the way this message is delivered to you. You are mistaking what I am saying for ideas that I have. You are mistaking what Apollos is saying, and he may indeed be talking at a much higher level than I did, but you are mistaking what he is saying for the truth of what is being said. You are missing something here, folks. And yes, absolutely, I spoke to you of a gospel that was simple and that was straightforward. Yes, absolutely, Apollos is talking to you in a slightly different way, but here's why. I am Paul. When I met you, you didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. You didn't know anything about spirituality in this way. And so, of course, I spoke to you in a way that spoke to you, in a way that you understood, hoping that eventually you would think in greater thoughts, in more expansive ideas. But this letter I just got from you all shows me you're still not there. Because what you failed to note, first of all, is that if you want to be a spiritual being, you need to see beyond the disputes with your friends. You need to see beyond the disputes over things that really don't matter. And you need to see beyond the disputes, especially that come from your identity as one of mine or one of Apollos's. Because the first step to spirituality is understanding that you are not one of mine, you are not one of Apollos's, you are one of God's. As I was reading this passage, I could not help, in the midst of the Winter Olympics, to think about the 1980 Miracle on Ice. How many of you saw the movie Miracle? Okay, thank you. For those of you who didn't, and those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, in 1980 there was a men's ice hockey team for the United States competing in the 1980 Winter Olympics in Lake Placid in New York. They were a bunch of, as they said, 20-year-old college kids fighting against, playing against people who were basically professionals in the rest of the world, especially the Soviet team, which had been playing together for 12 years or so. And so they brought together this team to play. And the movie talks about the integration problems with bringing together teams that don't like each other very much, teams from Boston and Minnesota in particular, who still don't like each other very much, by the way, if you ever go to college hockey games, and getting them to play as a team. And there's an exercise where Herb Brooks brings them all together and says, well, we want to get to know each other, so I want you to introduce yourselves. What's your name? Where are you from? Who do you play for? And the first kid is some guy from Minnesota who says, oh, I play for U at the U. There's another kid, oh, I play at Boston University. And this goes on, and the team is middling, is not reaching its potential, until one day they get badly beaten and start doing sprints on the ice over and over and over again. How many of you ever run sprints? How many of you ever run punishment sprints? How many of you wanted to do anything in the world that would get you out of ever doing that again? Okay. Well, there's a guy on the 1980 men's hockey team named Mike Iruzioni, who still works at BU, being Mike Iruzioni. And I'm pretty sure I saw him on NBC cheering after the shootout victory yesterday. So finally in the movie, Mike Iruzioni throws down his helmet, throws down his stick, and says, my name is Mike Iruzioni, and I play for the United States of America. And it's an inspiring moment, and things get better. And so we go back to Paul. Paul's saying, hey, look, you guys, you can't do anything as long as your story starts in Minnesota and starts in Boston University. You can't do anything as long as your story starts in where you were, as long as your story starts in who you were when you grew up. If you want to be a spiritual person, if you want to feel the transforming love of Jesus Christ in your life, if you want to know God, your story must begin in God and end in God. Before you could be any of Paul's, you had to be God's. Before you could be one of Apollos's, you were God's. We, God and Apollos. We in this church, we, your pastors and your leaders, we, everyone in the congregation, are tools of God, the gardeners tending to God's creation. But we do not make things grow. We do not make you grow. What makes you grow is knowing God, knowing that you do not need to be afraid, because Jesus is with you, God is with you, you are all children of a powerful God, and that is your foundation. And if you are worried because this guy says Paul wasn't telling the whole truth, Paul was treating you as a child, then you are still afraid. But if you instead know, yes, Paul told us what Paul was going to tell us, but my story does not begin in Paul, and my story does not end in Paul. I may grow in Apollos. I may grow with you. I may grow at camp. I may grow anywhere, listening to anyone, as long as I'm growing with God, and particularly God's voice through those who God has appointed. So the next time you feel yourself despairing, the next time you find yourself with people and say, I do not understand why I am here, if we are going to discuss all of this work, the next time you feel that way, stop and say, I am doing God's work. to feel God, I must move through this dispute. I must move through this frustration and understand we are doing the work of God. And if we aren't doing it, who is? And that's the moment. That's the moment. The moment you realize the work is more important than the fight. That Paul's words will speak to you. Amen.